There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf, and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, how hard it is for us to imagine your future, the place to which you are drawing us. Yet today, in this time, open our hearts and minds that we may envision with you just what you hoped. May that vision of peace inspire us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, who alone is our rock and redeemer. Amen. Come this way out. Leave everything. Come this way out. Leave everything. Come this way out. I hope never to hear those words spoken for real, because they are what flight attendants say during the evacuation of an airplane. If you've ever flown, you know how long it takes to board an airplane, the shuffling down the aisle, the wait while the guy in front of you struggles to put their luggage into an overpacked bin. Finally finding a seat, people sitting down, someone standing there arguing with a flight attendant because they don't like where they're sitting. It can take half an hour to board 143 seats on an airplane, but it takes 90 seconds to evacuate it. That's the FAA standard. And airlines have to demonstrate that they really can do it. As soon as the plane stops, flight attendants open the doors, blow the slides, and then, despite their own fears, stand at the exits, crying, "Come this way out, leave everything, come this way out." In fact, they're tested every year on their ability to do this, and if they don't yell loud enough, they get down-checked. Reading the scripture today, imagining the situation into which it was preached, thinking about our own situation makes me long sometimes for someone who, like Isaiah, can say, "Come this way out." Here's the background. God's people had been defeated, totally defeated. The Babylonians, what we would now call Iraqis, had come up against Jerusalem, overscaled its walls, slaughtered its people, taken its king and his nobles captive, and transported them nearby what is now Baghdad, while others became refugees. This defeat of God's people was so violent and unexpected that it cut off the hope of God's people. And when King Zedekiah died in captivity, they wondered if there would ever be a future for them. Who would lead them? Who would stand as the symbol of the nation? Who would give them hope? hope that they might return and have a future. And that's the moment into which Isaiah announces, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who's Jesse? What kind of hope is that based on someone I've never heard of, I imagine you thinking. Long ago, God's people were ruled by a king who veered off God's path. So God did what God always does in such a situation, backed up and took a detour, another path. God sent Samuel to the family of Jesse to pick a new king. And Samuel went through all the sons of Jesse. Jesse was Catholic, so he had a lot of kids. And one by one, he rejected each of them until he came to the last born son. Now, all of you who are last born are thinking, well, of course, obviously. And that son's name was David. There was something about David that just gave God joy. From the time he was young until he was old, David didn't always do what was right, but God always took great joy in him. And God made a covenant with David and said, you know, I'm going to permanently lift up your line. So to say that this root is coming out of the stump of Jesse, that a new branch is going to flower, is to say God's keeping this covenant and that there will be a way forward, that God is going to say to this defeated people, come this way out. Now, it's hard to identify new growth. It's hard to know who to follow when you are desperate, isn't it? I heard Tony Campolo talk about leaders one time, and he said, you know, there's three kinds of leaders. There's the kind that says, there aren't any real demons, don't worry. And ultimately, they fail. Because there really are demons. There really are destructive, dark things operating in our world. There really is evil. And if we pretend that there isn't, we lie. And then there's another kind of leader who says, yeah, there are real demons, and they're in them, over there. Those are demagogues. And they always fail too. But they do often a great deal of damage in the meantime. The them might be someone who's different religiously. If you're Muslim, it might be a Christian. If you're Christian, it might be a Muslim or a Jew. Sometimes it's racial, but it's all the same. And then there are the real spiritual leaders. And the real spiritual leaders listen to God and say, yeah, there are real demons, and they're in us. And the only way out is God's way. The only way out is for us to change. Come this way out, leave everything. That's how we come out of our present and into God's future. Now, change doesn't occur easily, does it? One of the things that always makes me laugh is how proud we are as Congregationalists of our pilgrim heritage and how much we hate to change things. Because the pilgrims, well, who were they? They were people who gave their whole lives to change their society. Bit by bit, they invented democratic institutions we take for granted, from the written constitution to town meetings, which originated as the annual meeting of the Congregational Church. Here we are, Congregational Christians, with this heritage, and more importantly, the emblem of the cross before us at all times, an emblem that reminds us Jesus gave up his life to change the whole world. And yet every time I become the new pastor of the church, one of the first things that was said to me, every church, don't make us change where we sit. Don't make us change where we sit. And I get that. I totally get that because I like where I sit. Actually, I have the nicest seat, I think, in the whole place. So I get it. I like doing things the way that I've done them too. Traditions are rich for me. You've heard me do a little prayer that starts out, "We offer now here our treasures and our goods, and some of it's gold, and some is frankincense, and some is myrrh." Well, that prayer came from my spiritual father and mentor, Harry Clark. He used to do it every single Sunday, all year long, for years and years. And so when I became a minister, I picked up that little tradition, and I brought it to churches. One day I asked Harry, "What's the source of that prayer? I've been doing it for years, but I don't know where it came from." And he laughed and he said, "Neither do I. My home minister always did it. So when I started out in churches, I just did what he did because it was a tradition." How often do we just bring along with us all the baggage of our traditions without ever opening the suitcase, without ever looking and considering what's inside? You see, we all do that. I do it. It's where I sit. It's where we sit. But there are real demons loose. And if I just sit comfortably, I won't be following Jesus. I won't be walking with Jesus. And neither will we. Because Jesus never sat anywhere long. You know, we read stories about Jesus, and we read his teachings, but we seldom read the little parts in between, and maybe we should pay more attention. And if we did, this is what we would hear. Jesus was on the way. Jesus was on the way. Jesus went from there to... You see, he never sits anywhere long. He's always on the way. But which way? Which way out? Jesus, Isaiah's prophecy isn't just that there will be someone to lead us. It's that they have some particular characteristics. Do you remember those? The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, which is to say an experience of God. And God is love. So that's a leader who only leads us towards God. Come this way out. This way. This is where we're going. The wolf will lie down, will live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. You know, that is a vision of peace that's just hard to take seriously, isn't it? But that's where God intends to go. This is the part that I hate the worst. Every year we have to read this. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. You know what an asp is? It's a little poisonous snake. I don't like snakes, especially the poisonous ones. So isn't it just absolutely our instinct to go grab that kid? Just hearing about it makes me want to grab a kid. Take them away. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, God says. All my holy mountain. Because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That is to say, the experience of God's love. The sign of moving towards God is peace. When we make safe, peaceful places, we are following Jesus. Sometimes that's just a personal moment. We know the demons of division are loose in our land. Recently, two Asian women were at an event in Brooklyn, and they did what we all often do after an event. They stopped at a cafe for something to eat, and a man began to loudly attack them. Apparently, he thought he could depend on others, that no one would stand up for people who looked different or for women. But he was wrong, because people did stand up. They made that cafe safe for those women, and when the man blocked the door and sprayed their defenders with pepper spray, the police arrested him, not the others who were defending the women. I'm proud to be part of a church where we make safe spaces. I'm proud to be part of a church that's moving forward all the time at making peace. You know, years ago, we used to give out the names of families, and we would all go and buy presents for them. I know many of you have done this, right? And then we realized that there's something wonderful about parents doing this. I grieved when my kids got too old for me to legitimately go to Toys R Us. And I was so happy when I finally got grandchildren. I mean, I was happy about Maggie and Bridget and Andy and all of that. That was fine. They're okay. A little annoying sometimes, but they're nice. But here's the great thing. I had an excuse again to go to Toys R Us. That was great. I still remember going in there thinking, I miss this. Oh, yeah. I miss this. So now what we're doing, and you can do this, is not going and buying toys for particular families, but we want parents of those kids to have that experience. And so the South End Community Center creates a place that's like a store with free toys, and the things that we contribute go into making that safe place and that joyful place and that peaceful place for those families. And you can do that. A lot of people are wearing safety pins today, a way of saying, I'm safe and I'm going to make a safe place for you. And maybe you think that all that's silly and doesn't make a difference, but it does. It does. It can make all the difference. The Jewish Foundation for the Righteous lists many stories of people who rescued Jews during the Holocaust. I'm going to put a link on the online version of this sermon to these stories on it, and I'm going to put it on our Facebook, church's Facebook page, so you can go and look at them. I read some of them, and I was especially struck by something that one said in response to a child's question. You know, in most of Europe, it took the cooperation of people just like us with the Nazis for the Jews to be arrested, identified, murdered. But in Denmark, when the Nazis were going to arrest the Jews and transport them, a few people found out and circulated the news. The king himself wore a yellow star, the king of Denmark. And almost all 7,000 of Denmark's Jews were helped to find boats to Sweden in just a couple of days and taken to safety. The Danes made safety and peace. One of them was a man named Knud Dybe. He was a member of the King's Guard, and when the Nazis conquered Denmark in 1940, he raised Denmark's flag over the capital. He was a sailor, and he knew the best routes out of Copenhagen. So in 1943, when the Germans ordered the roundup of the Jews, he helped plan this transportation. 7,000 Jews escaped. 7,000 people were saved. He was asked by a boy after the war, why did you risk your life to save total strangers? It was our duty. It was just something one did, he said. There was a sense of outrageous indignation that anyone would harm their fellow compatriots, their neighbor humans, their neighbor kids, their grandmothers, members of their community, no matter what religion they espoused. Now, maybe these incidents, the one in Brooklyn and the Holocaust, don't seem connected. But they are, because the demons of the Holocaust grew powerful years before. They grew up, they started when no one objected to someone abusing a Jew in a cafe. They grew when no one stopped the first Nazi from beating someone up. When people looked away from the little violence of small moments. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. The doors are flung open, the chutes deployed, and brave flight attendants stand at the door yelling, come this way out, come this way out, come this way out. And so too our mission is to say to those whose hope is dissolving like a sunny day overcome by clouds, come this way out of the darkness of division, out of the darkness of hatred, out of the darkness of conflict and hate, come this way out. There is hope, and the hope is the emblem of Jesus, a man who offered in his life a picture of what it looks to live in the experience of God's love. The emblem of that hope is Christ, who invites us to make his life ours. It is the way out to peace. This is the invitation, the same with which we begin every single worship service. The peace of the Lord be with you. It's a way of saying to the darkness and to the violence, come this way out. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, in a world of demons, may we be people who make safe places. In a world of violence, may we be people who make peace. May we be a people who are full of the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of devotion today is Comfort, Comfort Ye My People, number 84.